Matthew 15. Come on, Irene. I haven't been to Korea, but I can imagine why there are no dogs. Yeah, in some parts of Asia, it's a delicacy, I promise you. So, amen. It is wonderful to be in Cape Town. It's wonderful to be with so many of you. It's been fantastic hanging out with Lisa and Vanna, just chatting. I really appreciate their openness, the way that they just... Whoa, this has got feedback. They you know, they lay open their marriage. They lay open their family. And I really appreciate that because, you know, as we mature as disciples, that's how it should be. It shouldn't be, so are you okay? Are you really okay? How are you really? I mean, we should be able to want that input in our lives and desire that. And so I really am so grateful for them. I'm grateful for their lives. And I'm just thankful for their discipleship. But we've had a really wonderful time. It's been great staying with my sister, obviously, and with my little nephews running around. But it's been wonderful. So we leave tomorrow morning. But I wanted to share with you a lesson that has really touched my heart on perseverance. And again, I'm not sure where you are at in your perseverance. But, you know, this year, last year, God put on our hearts very strongly that that we should start a preschool at our building. Because in Johannesburg, in the Northwest region, we actually have this fantastic building that they built 10 years ago. And, we arrived there and it was there. So I just said, amen. And we decided, you know, we really want to have community relevance. We don't want to just... you know, just be a church and be insular. We really want to have community relevance. And so Vanya, you guys remember Vanya. She was here as well. She came to the building and she's like, you guys have got to start a preschool. I know they started a school in Indonesia and 8 couples were converted just from that school. And so we said, all right, we're going to do this. And, you know, I approached some sisters and we were going to do this and we prayed about it. And none of us felt like doing it because none of us, you know, we're all busy. You get what I'm saying? You know when you feel like your life is already full to here, and then the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'm putting this on your heart, and you're thinking, really? What? When? When exactly am I going to start a preschool? And so I was sharing with the Bible Talk leaders on Sunday. We all, there was 4 sisters, and all of us actually were really praying that it would fall through. And so we had the inspector come to the property, and he was like, yeah, sorry, you know, the facility isn't going to be appropriate for a preschool. So we were all like, oh, you know, we were like, amen. Okay, so that's not something we have to do. And then, you know, he phoned the next day. Actually, it's fine. You can start. I was like, oh, okay, really? And then, it was just be literally thing after thing like that. So then the fire department came and said, no, you don't have the correct forms. And then it was so funny. We would all be so happy. And then they'd phone and say, actually, we found the forms. You do have fire. We were like, oh, really? It felt like God was not calling us, you know, like Jesus called Peter, come out of the boat. He was pushing us out the boat. We literally felt like, stop. Like we were being pushed. And so we started our preschool at the beginning of the year very excitedly. We had 4 teachers. I mean, talk about really staffing it well. With a full 3 kids. It's like, wow. Talk about, that's a real bang. That's really Holy Spirit power there. I mean, those poor children couldn't have a snotty nose for very long. I mean, there was someone running after them to take care of them, you know. So anyway, you know, I think I've learned a tremendous lesson this year on faith and deeds working together. Because we had a lot of faith and we were praying and we were fasting, but we didn't have a lot of deeds. We haven't really advertised. And I think, so what we started doing is handing out flyers and we set up a stall at a shopping mall with the big banner and we, you know, it was so weird evangelizing, but, you know, hi, do you have a child? And come to this preschool. And what it taught me is that we need to persevere. And so this year I have learned that, man, you've got to go, you've got to persevere, and then you've got to persevere some more and some more and some more. So let's look in Matthew 15. And I know you're thinking, and what? I'll tell you the rest of the story later on. Matthew 15 and verse 21. What I want to look at is a woman who persevered amazingly. I feel like I have so much to learn from this woman. She really has become my spiritual hero. I have 2 spiritual women heroes. Anna, the prophetess that was in the, you know, that prophesied about Jesus, is definitely one of my heroes. I mean, the Bible talks about how she was a real prayer warrior. That's all she did day and night. And I love it. She has the ministry of prayer, and I love that. So she's one of my heroes. But this woman, I can't wait to meet her one day. I hope she made it to heaven. But in Matthew 15 and verse 21, It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So the disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Okay, this is the first time in Jesus' adult life where he leaves the borders of Israel. Okay, so he actually leaves Israel. Jesus needed some time out. Have you ever had that time where you just need some time out? That was Jesus. He was like, I'm leaving the borders. I just want to be where no one knows my name. I want to get out of here. And so he goes away, and this woman had obviously heard about him and everything he had been doing in Israel. And she's like, no way, I have this opportunity. And she starts crying out, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. And the disciples are getting irritated, and they're crying out, Jesus, get rid of her. And Jesus, he walks around like he doesn't hear a thing. The Bible actually says Jesus paid no attention to her. Jesus ignored this woman. And I think the thing that's so amazing is she just persevered. I don't know about you, but if it were me, I'd be like, well, and I'm out of here. This woman persevered. And what I want us to do tonight is just to go through a few of the ways she persevered and the obstacles that she overcame. The first thing she persevered through is maybe the feeling of God doesn't care about me. You know, Jesus wasn't paying any attention to her. He really wasn't. This wasn't like he didn't hear her. He wasn't paying attention to her. He was ignoring her. And I don't know if you can relate. Sometimes in my walk with God, that's how I can feel. It's like, God, it's me. Hello, hello. And it feels like it bounces there and comes back. And it's like God is ignoring me. You know, with my sister and I sometimes joke because, you know, I'll be praying for things and praying for specific things and praying. And it's almost like God is like, oh, da, da, I can't hear a word you're saying. And then Maura will tell me, oh, shame. So I just prayed this and that. And then, yeah, it was amazing because, like, the next day it just happened. And I'm like, oh, nice. And I think what I want to do is say, okay, well, could you maybe pray for, you know, without him seeing, could you pray for a few things for me? Because maybe he'll answer, because it seems like he's ignoring me. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt ignored by God? Like, hello, God. And, you know, sometimes we can feel like, my God doesn't care about me. He cares about other people, but he doesn't care about me. You know, you look around and you see other people being blessed, or the thing that you're praying for, it seems to be happening. Life seems so easy for other people, and it's so hard for you. And you can feel like, but God doesn't care about me. You know, at times I felt like maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe there's some secret sin in my life that is right there. And I don't even know about the secret sin. And if I could just get to that secret sin, then God would bless my life. Can you relate to what I'm saying? You know, I don't know what this woman must have been thinking. Jesus was ignoring her, and yet she didn't stop crying out. It didn't deter her. You know, my question for us tonight is, have you stopped crying out? Sometimes we can get to a point in our relationship with God where we feel like, well, you know, the truth is, God knows what I need, and so I'll just leave it up to, you know, his discretion, and, you know, his will is going to be done anyway, so I'm just going to say, you know, God, just do whatever your will is in my life, but I'm going to stop crying out. Have you stopped crying out? You know, some of us have stopped crying out for our husbands, those we have and those we don't have, those we want to have. We've just stopped crying out. We've just said, oh, God, whatever. Our husbands aren't Christians. We've stopped crying out. We used to pray about it, but now it's sort of like, I don't know. Have you stopped crying out? Some of us have stopped crying out for our children. You know, I appreciate so much what Van and Lisa are doing with the older children. Sometimes with the older children, we can feel like, oh, my goodness. You know, the amazing thing in Johannesburg is we're having a massive revival of the older children coming back. I think the Holy Spirit is working, and they are coming back. Sisters, we cannot give up. We've got to keep crying out. You know, we've got to keep crying out for the character changes we want to make. You know, I know how it feels where you're really working on something and you're really wanting to grow in an area, and then someone comes to you and says, you know, have you noticed that you're really quite prideful? And you're thinking, no, I've been working on this and praying about this and fasting about this, and it just doesn't seem to want to leave me. Are you still crying out? Some of us, we need to cry out about our work situations. And I know for the teens, your schoolwork, are you praying? Are you crying out? Are you begging God to help you? For those of us at varsity, are you praying about it or are you just worrying about it? Are you a prayer warrior or are you a warrior with an O, I-R? What are you doing? What are you doing with the concerns you have? What are you doing with your fears? What are you doing with your fears of the future? What are you doing with the things that you dread? What are you doing about those things? Sisters, we cannot stop crying out. Even if you're feeling ignored, you got to cry out. Amen?
Amen?
You keep going. Amen?
Amen?
So she keeps crying out. So the disciples now go to Jesus, and they really are getting irritated. And they say, please, can you just, you know what, we have come here for some R&R, so get rid of her. And it's interesting. Jesus turns around so that she can hear, and he says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. The second obstacle she had to overcome was, maybe it's not in God's will to help me. You know, we need to overcome that obstacle. Maybe it's not in God's will to help me. Maybe what I'm praying for is not God's will. Because the truth was, Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel. He didn't come for the Gentiles. She was a Gentile. Now, we know later Paul would come and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So for this time, right now, she wasn't part of God's plan. She wasn't in God's agenda. And, you know, Jesus made that clear. It wasn't. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever, you sort of pray something and you think, maybe this is not God's will. I'm not sure if I, should I be praying this? Shouldn't I be praying? And we're not sure what to pray. You know, this woman was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep praying. Now, if you are praying with great perseverance for a Ferrari, or to win the lottery. Okay. Now, I'm not saying God can't answer that. But my advice would go get some input from someone, all right? And just, so bounce it off someone. What you're praying for, what you're begging God for, go and ask someone. Go and say, you know, is what I'm praying for something unspiritual? Or is what I'm praying for, something that isn't godly? But some of us, what we do is we so quickly just think, well, maybe this isn't God's will, so I'm just going to stop praying about it. You know, this woman didn't care. She was like, maybe I'm not a part of your will. I don't understand why right now you've come for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. But you know what? I'm not giving up. My daughter is sick, and I am not giving up. You know, with the school, we decided, sure, God, I really believe you put it on our hearts. And suddenly we started doubting. Maybe this is not God's will. Maybe I was hearing voices, you know. Maybe it was Satan's plan to distract us. Maybe it was, you know how you start in your mind starting to think, maybe, and then one of the sisters was offered another job. And so we're thinking, maybe, I don't know, maybe. And we got on our knees and we were like, God, we believe that you will show us your will and you will open the doors and you will do it. And we kept praying and kept persevering. And it was amazing. The next day, it always would happen. The next day, they phoned and said, sorry, we actually can't give you that job. So she was back with us. But you know, we need to persevere, sisters. And we cannot, sometimes Satan is right there whispering in our ears about why, no, but God doesn't care about you. So I don't know why you're bothering to pray, because he's made it kind of clear that he doesn't actually care about you. Or he's whispering in our ears, you know, this is probably not God's will for your life. God doesn't have great plans for you. God doesn't have a great dream for your life. And so you are going to be one of those people that it's you don't have impact. And so just be happy with that. Mediocrity is as much as you're going to get. So just be happy. Just leave God alone. Is that where you're at tonight in your walk with God? Are you crying out? Would God be able to say that you are crying out and begging him? I want you to really think about that. And I want you to really ask yourself, why have I stopped crying out? What is it that's made me stop persevering in my walk with God? You know, sometimes our view of God is incorrect. We see God, as our physical fathers. I mean, a lot of us know that. Sometimes we project our physical father onto God. So if your dad wasn't around or he ignored you or was harsh or whatever, then we can project that onto God. Or sometimes God hasn't answered our prayers for a long time, and so then we can just feel like God just doesn't care about me. Whatever it is, we need to talk about these things. You know, Maura and I were having a discussion yesterday. I'm studying out the book of Job right now. I'm reading the Bible in a year, and I'm reading it in chronological order, which is so interesting. In other words, how it actually happens. So after Genesis 11, the whole book of Job fits in after Genesis 11. I never knew that. And then it starts from Genesis 12. So if you read it in the actual time frame of when these books were. So it's very interesting. But you know, the interesting thing about Job that I realized, you know, after every time his children would go and feast and everything, you remember he would give all these sacrifices for his children, and he would be like, God, if any of them have sinned, please, you know, don't hurt them. And then, you know, Satan comes and all his children die. And in Job 3, he says, what I have dreaded has happened. And I thought it was an interesting thing. Job never dealt with what he dreaded. He managed what he dreaded. He made sacrifices for his children so that, you know, it wouldn't happen. And sometimes what we can do is manage our fears. We can manage what we dread about the future. We can manage, our anxieties rather than dealing with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I think that will just stop you from persevering, because then you will believe the lies of Satan. If you are listening to Satan telling you lies and feeding your fears, and if you're not going to God and taking him your fears and going to friends and taking them your fears, then let me tell you, man, I just thought Job, he never dealt with what he dreaded. He just managed it. We've got to persevere in our walks with God, sisters, and we've got to get real and open with God about what we're feeling. Amen? Amen. Are you guys with me? Yes. So she decides to persevere. I don't know about you, but I would have walked away. You know, Jesus says, listen, it's not in my will to help you. I came for the lost sheep of Israel. I would have been like, okay, let me quit while I'm ahead. Instead, the Bible says she falls on her knees. She falls on her knees. I don't know about you. I would not be falling on my knees. He's already told me I'm not interested. He's ignored me. He's told me it's not part of my will. She falls on her knees and says, Lord, help me. I don't know. I mean, isn't your compassion aroused? And Jesus looks at her and says, it is not right to take the children's bread and pass it to their dogs. No, he didn't. It's so funny, you know. I've actually avoided this chapter in the Bible for many years because I actually can't handle it. Every time I've read it, I've always just been a little, you know, I get a bit of a... Maybe the disciples heard it wrong. Maybe that's not what... He didn't just say that. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, meek and mild, kisser of babies. What on earth is he saying here? It's not right to toss it to their dogs. You know, I did a lot of research on this line, and what scholars say is Jesus didn't call her a dog. What he was doing, he was quoting a familiar saying for that time. So a familiar saying maybe in Cape Town is, oh, Cape Town is so slow. So maybe Beraldine asked me something and I said, shock, Cape Town is so slow. I'm not necessarily saying she's slow, but what I'm doing is I'm quoting what, you know, they always say that why it takes 9 months to do anything in Cape Town. That's why they call it the mother city. You heard that, right? Because everything takes 9 months. It's a mother city. You understand? I mean, well, Gauteng, gangster's parrot. I mean, there's a lot we can say about every city that we're in. So what Jesus was doing, he actually wasn't addressing her. He was quoting a familiar quote in Jewish culture. And I think really what he was doing was testing her heart. In fact, the whole interaction was a test of her heart. You know, the final obstacle that this woman, I'm sure, would have had to sort of overcome was, okay, now I am hurt and I am insulted and enough is enough. I mean, how would you have responded? You're on your knees thinking, well, this will rouse some compassion. And he tells you, go take the bread. I'm not going to give the bread, and toss it to their dog. I don't know, man. I would have been ticked off. Maybe felt like, if this is the way God is going to treat me, then I am sorry. Enough is enough. I deserve better than this. You have insulted me. You are not treating me fairly. I have humbled myself. I have persevered. I have pushed on. I have, you know, continued to humble myself. I have kneeled. And instead of, you know, embracing me, you're telling me this? Yeah. You know, the woman, what she does is she says, no, that's true. But even dogs, you know, feed on the crumbs that fall from the table. Really? She is so humble. There is no sense of entitlement. There's no sense of, well, God, you deserve. You owe me. I deserve for you to do this to me. She understands, God, you owe me nothing. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. I'm completely at your mercy. What you want to give me, I gladly accept from your table. You know, I think that a lot of times what blocks our perseverance is just our pride. Because we can persevere and persevere, and then we can get to the point where we feel like, but God, it's not fair. Why do you answer her prayer and not my prayer? It's not fair. Have you ever felt that? We think, you know, I deserve this. You know how long I've been a disciple, God? Do you know what I could have been doing with my life? Now, God, I've suffered enough. I've been through enough. So now you need to come to the party. Now, maybe we won't say that, you know, when we're sitting in a quiet moment crying at the coffee shop with a sister. But in our hearts, that's what we feel. And so some of us, we give God the silent treatment. Well, I'm just not going to pray for a few days. Yeah. How's your prayer life? Well, you're gonna suffer now. We give each other the silent treatment when we're not happy, and so we think, no, that's a real winner with God. It really isn't. In Job 24, the Bible says, you know, if you sin, who do you affect? Only yourself. God can't actually be manipulated. Just a heads up for anyone who tries to ignore God and hope that works. He really can't be. I remember reading that scripture in Job 24 where it says, if you sin, you only affect yourself. And so if you're going to throw a hissy fit and fold your arms and say, I'm not praying anymore, then you know what? God's going to look at you and say, then, sweetie, the only one you're hurting is yourself. But that's fine. You enjoy your day. I'm going to be busy with something else. And when you're ready, but you're not manipulating him. You know, the thing that Jesus is so amazed, he says, woman, you have great faith and your request is granted. Jesus equates her incredible humility with great faith. And I think, you know, in the Spider-Man movie, do you remember what he says? He says, with great power comes great responsibility. Let me tell you, with great humility comes great perseverance. And some of us are wanting to give up, not be Christians anymore. We don't want to do this anymore. And let me tell you, we think it's all because of God and what he's not doing for us. With great humility comes great perseverance. You will find the strength and the courage and the faith to overcome whatever you're going through right now in your life, where God is the only solution. You know, this woman didn't have a plan B and a plan C and a plan. She didn't have another plan. Jesus was the plan. Sisters, we actually don't have another plan. We try and have another plan. We try and say, well, if I had a man in my life, or you know, then that would work out. We try and take food. I mean, food can be a plan. I'm stressed, so I'm going to eat now, or I'm going to drink tea now. We try and come up with another plan. But Jesus is the only solution. He is the only real solution for the sorrow that you feel in your heart, for the anxiety you feel in your heart, for the emptiness that you feel in your heart. Jesus is the only solution for your problems. He is the only one. There is no other solution. You know, you will find the strength to continue when you understand that. And then you say to Jesus, all right, okay, I'm just going to humble myself. And then it gets worse. I'm going to humble myself more. And it gets worse. That's okay. I just keep humbling myself. I'm not getting up off my knees, Jesus. I'm not getting up, so that's fine. I'm just going to keep humbling myself. That is the only way through difficult times, sisters. The only way through difficult times is you just keep humbling yourself. It doesn't matter how long it takes until, like the Bible says, finally God lifts you up. You don't lift yourself up and say, well, whatever, and I don't need you. And we've seen a lot of people do that. We've seen a lot of people walk away, leave God. And they blame some other reason. You know, I don't know if I believe in baptism. Well, you know, whatever. But really the problem is them and God. They don't like the cards that God has handed them. And the funny thing is, you know, so many people come back because you, after a while, you realize you go there and you have these other solutions. But at the end of the day, you realize God is the only solution. What areas do you need to persevere in your life? Are you happy with God right now? Are you bitter? Where are you in your walk with God? It is, sisters, you know, there's no point we can sit here and talk about being great wives and great students and great girlfriends and great singles and great teachers and leaders. But how are you and God doing? Where is your walk with God? You know, sometimes we just need to persevere when life doesn't make sense. It's easy to persevere when you have a goal and you know where you're going and you just put. Sometimes, I don't know, God spins us. It's almost like, have you ever played the game when you roll around and run and then you try and walk and it's like, woohoo, I don't have a clue where we're going. Sometimes life can feel like that. That God is literally, it's like, woohoo, we are just spinning and I have no idea. And even then you need to persevere. Even then you stay on your knees. Even then you are humble. You know, I was tempted with this primary school to just give up, to just feel like, you know what, God, come on. So we finally got three more kids to come. So we had six kids. I was like, yes. And then one of them phoned, and the mom moved to Durban. We were back down to five. It was a sad day. But you know what? It was so great because I just love these sisters. They are just gems. Gems of women. You know when you're around people that are just spiritual gems. And so the four of us would sit there and what are we going to do? I don't know. What are we going to do? Can we pay salaries? No. Do you mind? This month you're getting a quarter of a salary that, you know, in fact, you're not even getting paid. And you, okay. I mean, it was like that, you know, really. They were. And then there would be days where I was full of faith and I would say, sisters! We've been pushed out the boat. We got to walk on water. And then they'd be dead. I'll be low. And then Sarah Jane would be like, sisters, we've got to trust the Lord. I mean, it was really funny. I mean, all of us were like, and we just persevered. And then, I don't know, then finally I think the Lord saw shame. And these poor four girls are really trying their level best. And so in about June, he just said, all right, he opened the floodgates. Right now we have 23 kids. And we have four that are already registered to start in January. And it's become the school. Now, of those 23, only six are connected to disciples. In other words, they're either the disciples' child or it's the grandparent that brought the other. The rest are just from the community because we're becoming known. It's just so exciting. We run around and we're like, the little school. It's just a wonderful little haven. You know, one of the non-Christian moms was saying to the teachers, she feels like God has literally, by the school, put his arms around her. She's a mom of triplets, and she's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. She's only like 32, and she didn't know she wasn't planning to ever put her triplets so young in school, but she has to with a chemo. And she feels like, this is what she was telling them, she feels like God himself brought her here, and the school has put his arms around her. And these sisters, I mean, you have to see how they walk around. They walk around like they are literally God's chosen instrument. It is just, it's wonderful that they found their niche and they found their, you know, what they should be doing. You know, God has a plan for each one of us. And maybe for you, it's not to lead a Bible talk. Maybe for you, it's not to stand up here and be the one that speaks. Maybe for you, but there is a role for you. And I think we've got to pray and persevere and trust that God has given you the gifts and the abilities and the talents that he's given you so that you can be useful to him. And sisters, my prayer tonight is that we will persevere in begging God and in asking God to use our lives. And that when we start feeling like, okay, this could be a way that God could really use my life, that we persevere until we see God's name glorified. Amen? Amen. I hope this helps. Love you guys.